Ba-ba-da-da, intro music, bum-ba-da-da, beta. Hello, what's up? It's the, I think, fourth episode now of the WSB Traffic Podcast here on WSBRadio.com. I'm Doug Fireball Turnbull.
I'm Smiling Mark McKay. Doug, we don't have a budget that big for music.
Oh, no. We spend it all on food, I guess. That's what happened here. And Smiling, before we dive into the traffic issues, we got a special guest. So, for those that aren't in the radio industry, we talk about different classes of listeners, and I don't mean any controversial type of class. I mean people that listen a lot all the way down to people who don't listen at all. And the people that listen a lot are what we call our P1s.
Right.
And we had somebody, I think, that pretty much classifies a P1 in our last podcast.
Yeah.
And then this guy, I think, is like a P111, like something
over
even over the top, plus,
and we appreciate
listener.
It.
And he listens to us all the way down from Macon. Let's give it up, folks. Let's give a warm applause here for Christopher LaShant Maddox joining us here on the Traffic Podcast today. Chris is a broadcaster in his own right. He covers something that affects traffic a lot, and that's the weather. So, Chris, talk to us a little bit about your interests and what brings you down here to SB today.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say for you and Smiling Mark and everybody here at WSB, thank you guys for having me. And I like covering the weather because it does have a lot of effect on how you plan your commute, how you dress, and that's my job is to, you know, plan your day to make sure you are going to be safe and sound if you're going to have to drive through rain and storms or if you're going to drive on a nice sunny morning commute.
That's what our bosses have told us, and then we've imparted with our listeners, the weather and traffic advantage, and we see that in the morning, but now in the summertime, we're seeing in the afternoons, especially with those pop-up thunder showers, you just never know when one is going to rain on your ride home.
No, you don't. And that's why it's important that you stay tuned to radio for, you know, to make sure that you are going to be safe and sound because you don't know what's really going to happen. So you just stay tuned. That's all I can tell you.
That's a great thing to say. And so let's talk about that unpredictable nature of the weather. Here's the one thing we can predict. It seems like every afternoon, no matter what's going on in the morning, there is somewhere, barring any kind of front coming through or a tropical storm like we have Colin that's down in the Gulf today,
right.
We have like, I would say, what, 20 to 50% chance that there's going to be some rain somewhere within the general area you might be going. If you see those clouds start bubbling up in the sky around lunchtime, is that a, I know that's not very much, but I mean, it seems like a pretty accurate thing to say. And I mean, Chris, how tough is it as a meteorologist when you set forth, you make your forecast for the day, and then in the afternoon, you just are kind of rolling the dice, right?
Yeah, it's kind of tough, but everybody needs to know, and this happens across north and middle Georgia a lot of times, that this is the time of year where the thunderstorm forecast could accelerate at the last minute. So this is why everybody needs to be, you know, just be weather aware because you may be outside mowing the grass or you may be on a commute somewhere and then all of a sudden the weather's looking good and all of a sudden at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, boom, right, the radar's lighting up all across the area. So this is the time of year you just don't know. I mean, the weather may be unpredictable, but WSB has a team that knows how to track these storms town by town, minute by minute, and just like I do down here in Macon.
Kirk Mellish all over in the Weather Center.
And oh, yeah.
I guess you guys, we as folks who aren't as smart as meteorologists, and I've always said meteorologists are the smartest guys and gals in the room that I'm usually in, especially
they're
in this
the scientists,
building.
Right? Yeah.
Right, exactly. That we can appreciate the fact that a summertime cold front or cool front comes through. Makes your forecasting a whole lot easier, and then we, as mere mortals, can enjoy the benefits of running around with the sunroof open and not have to work with the air conditioning.
Right, absolutely. So
Here's what's, to me, just kind of flummoxes me, I guess, about, there's a word, anyhow. here's what kind of gets me aside is you don't know from afternoon to afternoon what to expect. We know when we look at a 5-day forecast and there's a cold front coming through on Thursday or a warm front, okay, we're probably going to be rained out PM drive. And with Smiling of Mine's jobs in particular are we going to have to go to the airport and even get in the helicopter or not this afternoon? We just don't know it. So we have to come with our game face on each afternoon because what starts out as a sunny day that's partly cloudy suddenly popcorns into some big storms.
Yeah.
And we know what this does to the ride around town. Atlanta traffic, I think a lot of traffic, but especially in Atlanta, is just add water. Rain plus roads equals wrecks. It's crazy. And so folks need to be prepared. for what's around the bend.
Especially when you have slow-moving type thunderstorms. These are the ones that could cause some problems with ponding on the roadways and, of course, with all the intense cloud-to-ground lightning you got going on. And the slower the storm moves, it the chances of structures getting struck by lightning go up. And that's my main concern all summer long. So that's going to be my main concern, if structures getting struck by lightning. So just be weather aware across North and Middle Georgia, and I know everybody listens to this great station, including myself, because I'm a big fan of this radio station. I listen to it more than I listen to anything else.
That's great to hear. And and speaking of concern, don't be concerned that they put the decision for us to fly in the hands of your trusty reporters. Now, that goes into the forecasting, and the pilots are forecasters. They watch the weather. They see what's going on.
Yes.
The pilot's the one that make the decision whether we lift off that pad or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
And here's the thing, is what's great about it, too, with the airborne advantage. So we've got WSB Storm Tracker radar, but when we're up in the Skycopter, we're up in the air. If it's scattered storms, if it's not a big swath of rain coming in, we know where the storms are. We can look and be like, yeah, look over toward the King and Queen building, toward 400 and 285. There's a cell right there, and it's usually pretty bright, and so we can navigate around that. But it's certainly a little scary when it starts popping up everywhere, and you need a direct line back to Peachtree DeKalb Airport to try to get back on the ground. I'll tell a story. When I was in the sky plane, we used to fly with an additional aircraft, a Cessna airplane. We have expert pilots of the Skycopter, but in the sky plane, we have student pilots.
Yeah.
And there was one afternoon that these storms started popping up. I'm listening to the warnings on WSU radio, just like everybody else, and I'm kind of saying to the pilot, hey, man, it's getting rough, you know, and I'm telling the places. And then where you have to fly, and, you know, we fly what's called cross-country between two interstates. And so we were going to try to go from 85 over to 400. And the guy goes, he was going to try to fly me right through the middle of a storm. Now, if there's any kind of lightning, we could sometimes, you know, if it's rain, we could fly in it as long as you could see. But if there's lightning, it's a no-go.
Yes,
and this dude was about to fly me right through the middle of the storm. And and so he goes, yeah, man, I think we can make it. And he starts going. I'm like, dude, no. And I told him, I finally was like, stop. I do not care what 400 looks like. I want to get home, okay? And so it can be a little dicey up there. But again, this is such an unpredictable time of year. First off, you've got the storms. You've got summertime road work on the weekends, especially, that just cooks the interstates. And then you've got a lot of people that aren't used to being in Atlanta. They're coming in and visiting grandma, or they're going away from town. It really, you mix those all together, and there are a lot of variables. It is of ultra importance.
We never let our guard down anymore.
Yeah. Never.
As we're finding out now, school's been out for a week now, and if you're listening to us further in the summer, you know you can't count on the fact that just because the yellow buses aren't out there running, or the kids are not at the school bus stops, that you're going to have an easier commute in or out of work. I mean, you just cannot say summertime patterns have changed drastically. There is a slight difference. We see a little bit of a difference in the volume, but boy, it's not been that way recently.
Yeah, wow.
No, it certainly has not. And in the afternoons, it's definitely not. And in the mornings, it seems like today, for instance, we had a little bit of a break on I-20 for the most part and from the southern suburbs. But 285 downtown, the big three that arrived from the northern suburbs, they were junk. They were the same. I didn't see any difference except that maybe they started some of them improving a little bit earlier, but there was still a big push. It's just not the same anymore. We've got so many people out there, so little place to go. So don't plan. Maybe the area you get the most relief is around when school gets in and out around the actual school districts, around the school zones, because you don't have a bunch of carpool moms, you know, backed up onto the roadway on Henderson Mill Road near Midvale.
Well, let me just say this too, Fireball. Let me just say this too.
Yeah.
Down around the Macon area where I live, well, traffic is not really, you know, bad in the afternoon or in the morning unless something major happens. But I mean, when you got rain going on and storms, but people usually kind of plan ahead to, you know, make sure they're getting where they're going, and they allow themselves some extra time to get to where they're going. So, I mean, it's not too heavy and not too harsh, but, you know, I was added to the WSB Traffic Trooper Facebook page. I think it was you or Mark who added me, but either smiling. Somebody added
me. One of us is responsible for that.
Is great, because if something major happens down there, then I'm going to go on there and post about it so y'all would know about it as well. So
I'm
out there.
I'm glad you made that Traffic Troopers group up. For any of our Traffic Troopers that are listening, we certainly want y'all to do that. I will say, though, the number one way to get in touch with us is not there. We're not always looking at that in real time, you know, because it's on Facebook. We're looking at a million other things. So the best way to get in touch with us is use that button that's on the WSU radio app, or save our number in your phone and call us up, just like you did when you called us the other day, Chris. So that's really the way I prefer to get the information is up front. So then we can ask questions, because although our traffic troopers are smart, some people don't always know where they are on the roads. We want to have that conversation with you and, you know, try to build up something there.
Oh, so, yeah, that way y'all can look it up on the WSB Jam Cam.
That's correct, yeah, and I want to make sure I tell them the correct direction on 285. So we talked about transportation patterns here, and this whole MARTA deal is just so complicated, right? We've talked about this on the WSB traffic shows in the past. Where should we go with mass transit? First off, Chris, you're in Macon. What kind of do they have a bus system there? What kind of? I imagine. And by the way, folks, Chris is blind. Okay, so Chris, we let him in here. Chris is very much into SB and very much into all the ways we are digitally and everything. But Chris can't see, so I imagine it's a real challenge for you to get around without some kind of public transit.
Yes,
right?
Yes, it is. And you have paratransit down there, and of course, you have the city buses. And the way paratransit works, you call them a day ahead and tell them where you want to go. And, of course, I like the fares, the way they have it, you know, $250 there, $250 back. Not a great deal.
Yeah, that's not at all.
And by MARTA, it's kind of $4 there, $4 back on the MARTA mobility bus. And, of course, we not too long ago got Uber down there as well. So, I mean, you have transportation to get where you want to go, and Uber is cheap, too, also. So for all the blind listeners, if you want to get out, no excuse, do something with yourself. Don't sit there and whine about it. Get out and enjoy yourself. I mean, there's always something to enjoy, you know, out there. So, I mean, whether you're at the park or whether you want to go out of town, hey, take it the best way you can. Get out there.
I think there are a lot of commuters here in Metro Atlanta that sit in that traffic every morning and every afternoon that wish they had an option of mass transit, like cities like Chicago, or I'm thinking San Francisco or New York,
DC,
where you've got
New
commuter
York.
Trains that work their way across the countryside and work their way into the suburban cities and then work their way into downtown and back out again. You know, we keep adding lanes. We keep adding express lanes. There's a bit of relief found in those. You pay for what you get. So if you're willing to pay for those express lanes, then you can get in that that service. But, you know, we haven't been there for a number of layered reasons why Metro Atlanta has not had a sustained and a consistent drive for public transportation into the burbs.
And MARTA has a really bold plan to try to get about, I think it's about $8 billion together to expansively add to their lines all through inside the perimeter and then even go up further into North Fulton. And it seemed like in the state legislature, all the ITP folks were okay with that. They were trying to build a Clifton corridor and so forth. But then the North Fulton cities really kind of balked at MARTA expanding. So I think some areas are adding that penny sales tax to add to MARTA and then so forth not. So we got a question at Ladies Who Law tweeted at me when I said, hey, give me some feedback. What should we talk about today on the Atlanta Traffic Podcast? And she said, well, why won't Atlanta invest in a London tube system? Well, if anybody's been to London or familiar with it, that tube system, there are more train routes there probably than there are bus routes here, just to show how detailed their system is. It was probably built, I was talking about this with my dad the other day, he's from London. They built that about 100 years ago when labor was cheap, before unions, and I'm not saying either way about unions, I'm just saying that's how it was. You probably paid somebody, like, give them a sandwich, and they'll work for 10 hours, you know? Something like that's how it was back then, all right?
Yeah.
You know, it was a totally different time. And in Atlanta, you know, if we have built so much infrastructure, how would you tunnel under it and create a tube system? They've made an attempt, some people, I think a lot of people argue, a pathetic attempt at the streetcar, because that's under fire right now, and the DOT is even saying, if it doesn't shape up, that needs to get suspended. And that took, what, $1 billion just to do that little line?
Yeah.
But you're right about the history. Look at New York. I mean, that subway system, which is very efficient, very complete, was built in the 1800s, early 1900s, and it's been around a long time. And they've been adding to that. Now, we can say MARTA has had a slow expansion because of politics, because of whatever. I mean, our version pales in comparison, but if we can just get MARTA into more places, then it doesn't have to go underground. We've seen these, above ground.
Sure.
So it doesn't have to, but we just need to find more ways for us to go northwest. We need more ways to go further northeast, east-west. I mean,
and up for Hundo, too.
Yeah.
And so that there's a big obstacle with how much money it costs. It costs roughly $1 billion a mile to add the heavy rail, the subways, if you will, or it's not all subway. And you have to have demand to meet that. And a lot of people, with the nature of things, and I'm not saying this is wrong, with the nature of things, is people do not want to raise taxes. They do not trust government right now. And we can see in this election, there's a heavy distrust of government on both sides of the aisle in many respects. So that's where MARTA is stalling out. And here's another fact, too, because I have gone to London, to New York. I've been to D.C., to Rome. They have a great public transit system. There's still bad traffic in these cities. All right.
Doesn't eliminate
you
it.
We could literally spend $10 billion making a minor expansion of MARTA trains.
Right.
And we would still have bad traffic. There'd be people that still don't trust it enough, and there's still just that many people. So we could. I love the commuter train next to the interstate idea. That is so expensive, and you're still going to have the interstates packed. So this is almost something to try to make traffic less bad in the future if Atlanta keeps growing.
And if I'm central London, they may even have a system where it's an odd even type of system where they only allow odd even on the back of the plates to get into central London on certain days.
They do.
About that, even with a tube as extensive as the London Tube, they're still limiting traffic.
They limit traffic. You're absolutely. It's something to do with your license plate. Right. Yeah, I remember that, Ned. I was there 2 years ago. So
yeah.
And we were not driving. My goodness, no, we were not driving. So that's kind of the MARTA discussion there. That's a great question, Ladies Who Law, and I think if you ask most people, it's like 50-50 whether they want more MARTA. Mark Aram wrote in his Gridlock Guy column about how he just didn't see how the MARTA expansion for what was being talked about would be even worth trying to go down that road, and that's understandable. And he's someone who's very progressive-minded, I think, in transportation. Now, we got a couple more questions. We're going to do a little rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
Yeah, there you go. See, Chris has got it. Okay,
hashtag
we're
going to
do those a little bit later. But Smile and I, off of the MARTA thing, need to talk about something I saw in the helicopter this morning. Smiling, you've had all the fun lately in the helicopter, seeing all the crazy stuff. And in the afternoons, I mean, we've been able to fly because of the storms that Chris has been dialing up over here. We've just seen a bunch of slow traffic. That's been about it. But this morning at about 5:45 or so, a MARTA bus was trying to negotiate, as you so eloquently put, Smiling, when you're filling in for Scott Slade, trying to negotiate the 285 eastbound ramp to Buford Highway. And I'm going to tell you, it didn't even make the turn. It's almost like it went straight. It just went straight into the woods and then tried to correct and just broadsided a tree. It never did overturn like somebody thought, but it was so damaged it looked like it flipped over. And so they had most of that ramp and at times all of it blocked until about 8 a.m. or so. And
distracted driving.
What is going on there?
Fast
for
speed.
This wasn't where they got cut off and it was, someone didn't run him into the ditch. He just didn't see what was going on, but we were over that. And so they had a wrecker in the apex of the turn of this. It's a hard right turn, this ramp, trying to stabilize it. They had another wrecker on the other side in the woods trying to pull it out. And it took for darn ever to try to get that thing going again. But That's not what MARTA needs right now when they're trying to do this expansion and everything like that. Now, so I saw that. It was something that had minimal traffic delays going against the normal flow of traffic. It was eastbound. But Smiling, you have seen some banana stuff here the last couple weeks. It seems like every morning you've got something.
And it came after the break we had from Memorial Day.
Summer break.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think even in the 6 o'clock hour or even before when it hit the fan, I was mentioning about the fact that we were following a lighter than normal, and then all of a sudden, as Scott Slade in his wisdom puts out in Twitter saying, all clear now, but the rush hour is young, and that's the way you need to think about it, because the one issue that we had going toward where you live down south, Chris, was a word of a tractor trailer that overturned and caught fire. We got the word of that, and picture this in terms of where we were. We were over downtown Atlanta at the Grady Curve.
Yeah.
And Mark Aram immediately gets on the two-way direct to Stockbridge.
Yes.
So when I hear that, I'm getting the alert in my ear with that. Then I look at my smartphone, and then we literally turn from a north heading to a south heading, and we can see from downtown Atlanta thick black smoke all the way down there. So you knew it wasn't.
Wow.
It was ugly.
We got clearance from the controllers at Hartsfield-Jackson, who are very, very busy, but very accommodating to us, and we thank them every time we go up and over the airport to get down to I-75 in Henry County. And when we got there, Chris, and everyone else listening, what I saw, and we posted it on social media, was pretty incredible. It was just after 7 o'clock. Firefighters had gotten there, but fully involved tractor-trailer blocking both lanes of a major interstate at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday morning after a three-day weekend. I mean, it was just incredible the way that We came over that and just saw the traffic stopped in both directions, and that was just flaming in the middle. And unfortunately, it was a fatality crash where the driver didn't make it out. That was just one of a number of issues involving big rigs the week after Memorial Day.
And that one stayed out, by the way, until I think the middle or late in the day. I think till PM drive, right?
But yeah. where the guy hit though was. It was from one side of the roadway to the other. The Express Lane Construction Project has most of the left side of each north and southbound lanes taken up. They haven't opened those lanes yet.
South Metro Express Lanes Project.
They had most of the Express Lane construction area blocked up there, which allowed the travel lanes to get through. But, of course, the spectator delay made those delays linger late into the late morning and midday going into and coming out of Henry County that particular morning.
And so I was thinking about this. I went to the Georgia Truck Driving Championships back in early May, which is a great event that the Georgia Georgia Truck Drivers Association puts together, GTDA. And what they do is they send these tractor trailers through this course, and based on how well you make the turns, the closer you get to the cones without hitting them, the more points you get. That's essentially what it is, and it's like an obstacle course, essentially, or something like that. And that's what they do is they have that to give the truck drivers, you know, pride and, you know, competition, but also to promote safe driving. It's all about safe driving. A lot of people complain about truckers, and, of course, there's bad apples, just like there's bad apples of bad traffic reporters, bad cops, bad everybody. But for overall, the trucking industry really tries to promote safety. And one thing I actually said on the loudspeaker air is, I just want to commend y'all for doing a great job and commend the DOT as well, because we hadn't seen any trucks flipping over on the 285 South ramps to I-20 or the 75 South ramps to 285 this year. I couldn't think of one. Now, I knew there'd been, and then smiling, and about 2 weeks later,
the common thread here, Chris, that Doug was off.
Yeah. See,
yes. I took off last week, couple days, you know, made a 3-day weekend to a 5-day weekend.
And then the afternoon, we're taking off on a rather, and it wasn't a routine because we had a tractor trailer involved in a crash at the start of that, and I believe it was Tuesday afternoon. After the morning rush, we had the tractor trailer in Henry County that burst into the flames. Then we had a tractor trailer incident inbound from through Jackson County, causing big delays out of Commerce.
Oh, that's terrible. How we started that afternoon. It's only two lanes up there, yeah.
And then we take off at a normal 445 spot, and as soon as I look down, you know, we have to go direct to the east side perimeter. Tractor trailer carrying thousands of pounds of liquid plastic.
My favorite kind.
At the end of the ramp from 285 South to I-20 eastbound. One ramp that Doug was commending the drivers for.
I was, yeah. And I'm guessing, smiling, for what it looked like, somebody just missed their mark, huh?
Wow.
Is that what?
The driver was actually quoted the next day. He was, you know, when it started going, he said, well, there was a lot of social media talk in terms of shifting loads. That's what he said. The load shifted, and he went over. Then, of course, there would be the cynical ones who were commenting on social media. If his speed was down, maybe the load wouldn't have shifted, and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to presume what the driver was doing, except for the fact that he went for the ride of his life as that tractor trailer went over.
For any truckers that may be listening to us here, that is the toughest ramp in Atlanta. Well, one of the toughest. I mean, probably the toughest one no trucks are allowed on, 75 South onto 85 North in the Brooklyn Interchange. But if you're talking about 285, which is full of trucks, that 285 South ramp to 20 East, we used to see them go over all the time. DOT has put more signs out there. I think done some striping on the road to really say, like, yo, you know, like, there's a ramp here. And really, it was the same situation, I think, like with this MARTA bus this morning. They just couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, DOT has been very proactive. I mean, didn't they do a study out there? It was very scientific study as to even the dynamics of that ramp and what can be done to alert the drivers that are coming south on I-285 on that inner loop to be forewarned that there is a big turn ahead of them. And I don't know, Doug, last year we had a whole lot more that went over than we've seen at the beginning of this year, but that's why we do what we do, Chris. It's always exciting, never boring.
It is. It's always exciting.
That's certainly true there. So we got another couple of questions here into the, not inbox, but to our little Facebook thread we just put up. We were doing a podcast. One driver, this is so interesting since we're talking about big trucks. I've never thought of this. This is why we want people to comment. Said, it's Jack Wheeler, who's a big listener of ours, said, as a motorcycle rider, why does GDOT not require logging trucks to cover their loads? Trucks hauling gravel send other items that are required. Trucks that haul gravel, sand, and other items are required to cover their loads. If you've ever been behind a logging truck with a load of logs, it's not fun in a car, but it's horrible on a motorcycle.
Who can we present that one to? Who has the jurisdiction over that, Doug? Do you think?
I mean, I guess GDOT's a good place to start to ask them why. I mean, to me, a logging truck, it's completely open. I guess when they take those trees down, they're dropping them in with a huge crane. You know, you couldn't have a boxy truck and then just put a cloth on top like a gravel truck, which, by the way, the covers on top of gravel trucks to me don't do any good. I always feel like there's gravel that bounces off my car when I'm behind it.
You worry about getting the windshield hit.
But yeah, I've never heard that. Jack, what we're going to do is we know the DOT commissioner, Russell McMurray, really well and some of his associates. So we'll get that over to him and maybe get you a good answer, try to throw it back up here on Facebook. Another question here from Dawn Goodfriend, who is she comments and posts on like everything we do. We're so thankful for you, Dawn. But she wanted to know the turn lanes at Briarcliff and Shepherd's Lane in front of the QT need to be redrawn. Accidents happen there way too often. So I'm trying to think about
putting that in your sector, Doug.
Yeah, that is in my sector. And I even wrote back to her. I said, I never even noticed that. Now, Briarcliff at Shepherd's Lane, that's not a QT there also. There's a QT that's at Briarcliff and North Druid Hills, and then there's another gas station down where Shepherd's Lane is. Not a QT, but I guess that's where you're talking about. I drive through there, it seems like, about once a week. And I've never noticed that, but that's something certainly we could pass on to some people in DeKalb County for sure, Don. So good eye over there. There are too many crashes for sure, I think, in that Briarcliff, North Druid Hills area. People bonking into each other all the time. There's not a lot of lanes either, and it's very heavily traveled. So another one for Traffic Trooper Snowman. He calls us a lot, and he comments a lot as well. He says, why does APD sit in the road when the entire accident is on the shoulder? Hey, you live in Atlanta, Smiling. That's your jurisdiction.
Yeah. Oh, that's not you know what? That's not just APD. In fact, I would say the guys in blue do a better job of getting off to the side than the guys in red. But there, you know what? As much, and if I was sitting behind the wheel and I was behind a crash, maybe I'd feel differently. But when you're above this and you see what we see and we see the carnage involved, then you see the first responders, then you hear about first responders and hero drivers and operators getting hit by vehicles. You know what? I'm okay with taking a lane away to protect that accident scene until they're wrapped and then move it over. You know, there are different thoughts about that. But I think having that buffer zone to avoid. And listen, traffic coming toward those wrecks are usually slowed at a really small and lower speed pace. But I'm not sure that the police are as much of the offenders, quote unquote, than the fire department. But putting those big ladder
trucks
out there.
It's another discussion we have in the helicopter don't we? We had police officer as a pilot.
You think there's any kind of competition between police and fire? Come fire with us.
The red and the blue, yeah. and we're the white and caught in between, right, Smiley?
But what do you think, Doug?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always of the opinion when it's something where it's rush hour, it's a rush hour direction, you need to open as many lanes as possible. It's tough to say. I mean, if it's a situation where they need to do a lot of moving around inside and outside the vehicles and walking right on the line there, yeah, you need to have that right lane blocked. But with all the flashing lights, you're supposed to slow down, either slow down or do the move over law where you slow 10 miles below the speed limit or move a lane over. So with the flashy lights there, that's effectively supposed to be like a lane blocked or a lane being slow. So that's what the purpose of them is. And then if you move those flashing lights out into the right lane, then there's people that might try to obey the move over law, and then it's like two right lanes are blocked. So, I mean, but you're absolutely right, Smiley. With as much distracted driving as there is, you could really almost blot the whole interstate, and someone's still probably going to.
There are a lot of memorable things we see in the helicopter. And one of the more vivid ones are in the construction zones where there are no breakdown lanes. So you imagine, Chris, a box truck going over on its side on the west side perimeter in Smyrna, and a hero unit hooking that thing up and literally having to drag it from the Paces Ferry exit down to Atlanta Road because there's no shoulder space there. That's what we've seen recently because of that construction zone on the west side. That's memorable and sticks in my mind. And by the way, the road is still damaged. They're going to repave that, obviously, but you can still see where that truck was dragged down there. So, and there are some spots where they don't have emergency lanes for them to even tend to these wrecks.
Yeah, so that's a big challenge over there is where do you balance safety and efficiency? And I think the police are very good about it. The hero units are the biggest champions of it.
Yes.
And the fire department, depending on the jurisdiction, the fire department usually lags behind. I mean, just today there was a crash 400 south at Abernathy. They'd already cleared it out of the way, and the fire truck was just blocking what the police had been blocking before. But as soon as they cleared it out of the way, our pilot, Bob Howdy, goes, hey, there's that fire department again, you know? So
that's going to be guaranteed. But, you know, I've been and what we do is not scripted, guys. So when a lot of this stuff comes out of our when we're talking, we're doing these reports, it's at the top of the head. And I've literally said a few times just reacting to what the hero units do. And Doug and you and, you know, Captain Hurd was a big proponent. We love the hero units. You know, that's why they're our heroes. And there was a crash outbound of the West Freeway out of downtown Atlanta just before sunrise one morning. And those cars, I was literally watching this as a state trooper was trying to block a left lane, and everything behind him was coming to a screeching halt just in the nick of time until that hero unit started pacing traffic, got it off to the right. So aptly named the heroes.
Yeah, no, they certainly are. Highway emergency response operators, but they're heroes in the lowercase as well, certainly. And I just want to say all the time, by the way, we're friends with a couple of hero drivers. They are giving us alerts quite often about things that don't make the news. Not every time that a hero unit gets, you know, swiped by a car or bonked into, does that make the news. And there's been a lot of times, especially at night, where that's been happening lately. Someone will just drive right into the back of them. And most always the driver is okay. But, you know, just like we had with the passing of Moses King back in March, you know, that's not a given.
No.
And he, of course, was hit head on or was hit directly by somebody, not even while he was in his hero truck. So that's a really tough thing. Y'all need to be extra vigilant out there, just like we talked about in our last episode with not driving on the emergency lanes. When there is an emergency that's in lanes, y'all need to be extra careful about that and be extra mindful that there's other people that are not being mindful and try to help contribute to the solution and not the problem there. Another thing I saw, too, by the way, just another crazy crash I saw on the helicopter here before we sign off, is last Friday evening, you know, right as we're trying to wrap things up and get the weekend started, we're just pulling into Peachtree DeKalb and then on 85 North at Chamblee Tucker. Holy smokes, okay?
Wow.
There was, at northbound, there was like about five vehicles, and they had for over 30 minutes only the HOT lane open there. So I think there was a lot of people, you know how Friday is, it starts wrapping up early, the interstate started getting their act together, and on this one, it happened right when things were starting to clear up, and it jammed things up back quite a while. And it looked like a chain reaction deal. Several cars were just folded up.
That's another reason.
They weren't going fast either. You think about it, that's right where you hit the back door, so somebody just didn't slow down.
And then another reason why you should always be listening to us, because we have really a great view, and the tools that we use, not only just the Skycopter, but we have a great view of the alternates to get you around. We try our best to say the last exit to avoid the backup is this one, and then we'll get you around it. So make sure you stay with us 24/7, because you just never know with Atlanta roadways. Right, Chris?
Exactly. This is why you need to listen to News 95.5 AM 750 WSB, WSBRadio.com, and download the WSB Radio app. I am telling you, this is a very important tool that you need to have. I'm telling you. I take it with me everywhere I go, even while I'm down in Orlando.
See, that's awesome. That's great. He said everything that we usually try to say there. At WSB Radio Twitter, too.
Twitter and Facebook, yeah.
That's it, man. And so Chris is always all over those. And so, Chris, when you're on that, what's some of the information that's most valuable to you when you're scouring social media for our radio station?
Well, the most important thing I'm looking for is what's happening in the news and, of course, the weather and the traffic, because if I'm planning to come back up here, which I'm planning on coming in the fall during the football season, you're going to need to know what's happening in the traffic, because you don't want to run into tie-ups that can slow you to a crawl.
And you know, that's football season. That means doing a lot of travel on Saturdays. The weekends are about to get really complicated here. Well, they've already gotten really complicated around town. So we've had that West Freeway construction. They're repaving all of I-20 pretty much the whole way from about Thornton Road to the downtown connector. They've already got two of those lanes done, I think, on the westbound side, and they're just continuing on, and so they're blocking two lanes at a time, and it's really causing big tie-ups on the weekend. Smiling, I know you've been up and down that west side perimeter when we got to visit Karen Emery, right? And that 285 around Atlanta Road, Paces Ferry, they're trying to realign things up there. They're rebuilding the Atlanta Road Bridge, and no shoulders, two lanes blocked at a time.
I caught Steve Winslow on the weekend, and he sounds like he's doing morning or afternoon drive sometimes on a midday on Saturday.
Oh, it really does sound that way, too. And then they're about to start repaving. I think we talked about this last time, but the downtown connector. The downtown connector is about to get that repave. You need about every 6, 7, 8 years to keep things fresh.
Is it so that time again?
They're going to start digging it up. And so with the 12 or so people that are still going to Turner Field for the last season there, you know, should we do the opera singing? No, we won't. Okay, so, but anyway, that's going to tie things up, too. And you combine that with what's going on I-20, that's just going to be a vortex of hate right there, okay? Not to mention all the lane closures scattered about on 75 and 575, building the express lanes, and on 75 in Henry County. So we got it all covered for you. Listen to us, not just during the week, but also in the overnight hours as well. Any parting shots, Smiling?
Nope. Thanks for being out there, guys, and thanks for depending on us.
Yeah, well, thanks for being on Atlanta's Morning News this morning.
Great job, man.
Anything from you, Chris, before we sign off here?
Well, once again, thank you for guys for having me. And, of course, we're expecting afternoon thunder shower, so stay glued to the radio, the website, and Facebook and Twitter, and the WSB radio app. Depend on it.
There you go. Well, we'll be locked in here in the next month or so. A lot of vacations coming up. But thanks for tuning in again to the Atlanta Traffic Podcast, the WSB Traffic Podcast here at WSBRadio.com. We'll hit y'all soon. Thank you.
Peace.